We talk a lot about the committee of the mind, all the many different yous inside there. And realize you have to train them all. It gets kind of discouraging sometimes. There seem to be so many of them. But it's good to see that they're also our opportunity. If there were just one you, and the one you was really unskillful, what would you do? You'd have to depend on somebody else, some outside power. And if you're really bad, you wouldn't be willing to give in to that outside power. You'd be hopeless. You have to realize all the different identities you have inside there are strategies that seem to work for one thing or another, may have had limited success. But you've got to have some good ones. After all, you are a human being. If you didn't have some good strategies in your repertoire, you wouldn't have made it this far. And the fact that you have many identities inside there means that you can see that you're in a bad identity and you can pull yourself out using another identity. So we're trying to develop the identity of a meditator. I don't know how many times you hear it said that you don't have a sense of you doing the path. And that if you simply get rid of your sense of you, then there'd be no suffering. Impermanence, inconstancy would hold no dangers because there'd be nothing there that you would identify with. So things could change any way they wanted to and you wouldn't be affected. We can't just decide to put yourself in that state or deny that you have a self. You have many selves. You have to sort them out. Those many selves sort one another out. You want to develop some of the ones that are already skillful and make them stronger, more skillful. After all, there's part of you that does think in terms of long-term happiness. This is called a healthy ego function, anticipation. There are dangers, but you can prepare for them. And you've been doing that. So sort out the identities in there that can think in those terms. There are the strategies in there that realize that your happiness is going to have to depend on the happiness of others, or at least it's going to have to depend on not harming others. You've learned that lesson sometimes. It may not have been thoroughly learned, but there's somebody there in the mind that has that lesson in mind. We'll try to find it. Bring that one out, especially when you're feeling discouraged in the practice. Realize that if you don't do something to train yourself, you're going to be a weight on other people. And that's going to make you feel bad about yourself. So trying to find the altruistic you in there. There's the you in there that knows how to say no to yourself. The one that deals with what they call suppression. Not repression. Repression is when you deny that you've got unskillful habits. Suppression is when you admit you have them, but you can learn how to say no. Of course, part of saying no is finding alternative pleasure. That's called sublimation. Like being with the breath. Sometimes sitting and meditating, trying to get the mind calm, is not all that satisfying. It's not going the way you want it. Well, think of other things you can do. This is why the training is a full training. It's not just sitting with your eyes closed training. It's training in generosity, training in virtue, training in goodwill. Work on those. You already have those seeds inside you. This is a large part of what conviction means. When the Buddha gained awakening, it wasn't just news about him. It's news about us as well. We read about him in his last lifetime. He seems amazing. Almost superhuman. But you have to remember, he started out like we are. He had his defilements. but he was able to take the skillful identities he had inside, the skillful desires, the skillful strategies he'd already mastered, and develop them. So when he was able to find the end of suffering, it wasn't just news about him, it was news about the capability of human action, the possibilities of human action. You're a human being. You've got your good habits. You may have some identities in there and have some pretty bad habits. But there are the good ones. Find them. Strengthen them. And finally have a sense of humor about all this. Learn to step back. And this is a large part of what the training is. Stepping back. Pulling out of an identity that's unskillful. Using an identity that's more skillful. This is why it's good to have so many yous in there. When they tell you to have no sense of you as you practice, they're totally depriving you of any skillful means. You're supposed to sit and wait for wisdom to come up, welling up from within you. It's from one of the denied selves you already developed. Rather than denying it, bring it out. Use it. When they say that wisdom acts through you, whose wisdom? It's the wisdom of some of your old identities. Sometimes you can trust it, sometimes you can't. You've got to test it. But rather than deny it, realize that you've got many identities and you can use them to step back. And one of the clearest ways of stepping back is seeing something as being ironic. Something incongruous inside your own mind. And seeing that it's humorous. When you can laugh at it, that weakens the incongruous. That weakens the unskillful parts of the mind. So you've got some good potentials. When they say the mind is capable of anything, it is capable of anything, but your particular mind has your particular habits, your particular ruts. Your particular habits can be good or bad. Find the good ones. Bring them out. Ultimately, we'll get us to a point where you don't need a sense of self, but you don't let go of your sense of self or sense of selves until you don't need them anymore. And the you that seems to be a real problem right now, that's only one of you. There are many in there. There's the you that wanted to meditate, the you that wanted to train the mind, the you that already has some good habits. Rely on those. Build on your strengths to compensate for your weaknesses. Build on the wisdom of the strategies that have really worked well in the past to educate the strategies that haven't worked so well. Open up the conversation inside. If you deny a sense of self, that closes down the conversation. Nobody gets a chance to speak out clearly. But if you're clear about the fact that there are many minds in here, many yous in here, and you can start sorting through them. But it seems like there's an awful lot. Well, it's finite, the number that you've developed. Then as you get used to encouraging some of the more skillful ones, that then becomes more and more habitual. The skillful ones get stronger. They can educate the unskillful ones. The ones that are totally hopeless, you can put out to pasture. But otherwise, take advantage of the fact that there's lots of yous in there, lots of strategies that you've developed in the past. Sort out the good ones and apply them to the Dharma. That's how you take advantage of this multiple personality you've got. You may have its drawbacks and seeming to have just too many different people in there. But the big advantage is that one of your inner selves can look at another inner self and see, okay, this is unskillful, I can pull out. That's where this multiplicity is a real advantage.